Lithuania, my country, my love, you are like health. Only when I lose you do I know how much you mean to me. We all want to be part of something greater than ourselves. That's what nations are all about. That's why every nation is loved. And yet every nation is a bit strange, not only to others, but often to its own people. Lithuania, my country, my love. These are the opening words of a great poem, but the writer doesn't come from Lithuania. Adam Mickiewicz is the national poet of Poland, and this poem, which he begins, is the most loved poem in the Polish language. The opening words about Lithuania at the same time must sound strange even to Polish ears at times. Litvo, ojczyzno moja, ty jesteś zdrowia. Every nation stumbles into history half-formed and already bound up with the stories of its neighbours. In Ireland we know this only too well. In the first piece of writing to come out of this country, the author wrote about this land of my captivity, this remote land. He described himself a flawed character, completely uncultured, a refugee, ignorant. Then he spoke his mind. You listen to me, all of you. You rich landowners with your scholarship and your smooth talk, listen and listen well. God chose foolish little me. He picked ignorant Patrick ahead of all of you. These words of protest marked the first steps of our nation in history, and after many centuries we can all recognise the message. We are the Irish. We live in this remote land, and we will not be overlooked. In the forthcoming referendum, we are faced with a fundamental choice about our relationship with our European neighbours, while at the same time among ourselves there is disillusionment, grievance, mistrust, anger and shame. Our basic institutions, financial, political, religious, have no story of encouragement to offer at this point. Yet we the people of this country, we do have a choice. We can look to our neighbours. We can learn from them about how they faced their own moments of humiliation. In 1933 in Germany, a political party came to power which began to persecute all its opponents. Among them was a 57-year-old man who had been mayor of Cologne for 18 years. He would spend the next 12 years either in prison or living in isolation. Later he would write about those days. He would describe the time after the final collapse of Germany as the catastrophe. Hunger, cold, need and death. Without hope for the future. Despised by all the peoples of the earth. At the age of 73, Konrad Adenauer became the first Chancellor of the German Federal Republic, and 4 years later he paid a visit to the United States. On his arrival in New York, he spoke of how rare it was for the victor to help the vanquished. The German people, he said, have derived courage from all this. We have regained confidence, and above all, we have learnt that in the life of nations too, force and egotism are not the only motivating powers. Germany recovered from her moral and spiritual disgrace by taking a generous view of the world and by learning to see the good in others. Whatever hardship we face in Ireland today, and whatever shame, if we look towards our neighbours and if we find it in ourselves to speak good of them, we will do well. There's a reward which comes from celebrating humanity at its best. If we vote no in the coming referendum, we will be sending out a clear message to our fellow Europeans. We cannot trust you. We cannot trust your governments. And we want you to leave us alone. In that case, we must ask ourselves who we can trust. There's always good reasons for fear. The future is always uncertain. There's always a challenge. But we can meet it with hope and generosity. We need hope at the best of times, but especially now when we are facing into years of hardship. If we vote yes to Lisbon, we will send out a message of confidence in ourselves and trust in our neighbours. We can sound a note of hope. Yes, we the Irish, we will play our part in shaping the future of Europe.